Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Wow. All right, everybody, you can be seated. Thanks, Sam. I got to strip down. What about that worship? Gosh. We really miss Amanda in Dallas. And Amanda actually spent a lot of time with one of the best friends of my daughters. And she would, I was just thinking while we were worshiping there many mornings, I'd get up to go to church. And she stayed in the basement and she'd get up. And I'd be praying for church and she'd be off for worship practice. And you just never know what's being birthed in the heart of a beautiful little girl who is quite nervous about not only playing publicly, but doing anything publicly. But something happens when you connect your life with Christ. You look at the fishermen that hung around with Jesus. And I am a fisherman. I fish and hunt. And the thing about fishing is the deal is, you know, the only vision is about bigger fish and more fish. But something happened when they began to hang around with Jesus that gave them a vision for changing the world. And that's what happens when you connect your life with Christ. Your vision gets much bigger. You never know quite where it could end up. But just thinking of Amanda, what a gift she is to the body of Christ. And I just love worshiping together. Sam, you overdid it for me this morning. And the way they hosted us this weekend, we really feel like kings and queens just hanging out with you. And your city, I'm starting to love your city. I've always loved your pastors. I'm starting to love your city. And it's the only thing I tell young church planters. I've planted six churches in Canada. Four are still going. So I know the agony and the ecstasy of church planting. It's the extreme sport of ministry, in my perspective. Some days you're the statue, some days you're the pigeon. But really, I asked some young church planters, I said, what do I need? I said, you need to love your city. If you don't love your city, don't try planting a church there. And I've heard it in Sam and Jess's heart over and over again, how much they love the city. I did have a birthday in October the 30th, 1981. I had a radical conversion when I surrendered my life to Christ. On my 60th birthday, I got a smoker. When I got saved, I quit smoking. But when I turned 60, I started smoking again. Ribs and briskets and. So anyway, here's what happened. I got me a Harley jacket. I'm never going to forget the generosity of C3 Toronto. My wife and I ride. But you know what you've got here is something very special, really, really special. You officially are the largest C3 church in Canada and the fastest growing. I'm just giving you the facts. I have really no... I couldn't be happier for Toronto and just love coming back here. But it is a sacred thing. When something's sacred, you need to protect it. I have a Harley. I cover it in the wintertime. I wax it, shine it. I treat it like it's something special. And when something is sacred, you treat it special. You shouldn't treat what you've got here as familiar or casual. I see people treating relationships as casual and disposable, rather than being sacred and protecting them. Your relationships that are authorized by the Lord have enemies. And so this is a sacred thing, and I'm just really, I'm really grateful to be here. And I got a few things to share that I think are really, really important. And I bring greetings on behalf of Pastor Phil and Chris, and I do invite you all to come on over to Calgary for our conference. 22 years ago, in August, we moved from a small town in northern Saskatchewan by the invitation of a church leader in Calgary to plant a church there. I had no idea what was going to take place in these last 22 years. Next month, in October, my wife will have been, and I will have been married 36 years. I've been happily married for 36 years. She's been happy for about 23 of those, I think. We have three children. All of them are in the house of God, serving the house of God. One is serving in Saskatoon, the other two are in Calgary, and we have three grandchildren. And it's just a great, great honor to be part of what God's doing in Canada. this morning, I'm going to share a different message next service. And I don't really... I won't do you any good if I share a message for specifically where you're at today, generally, but specifically. I actually need to share something about where you'll be in 10 years. That's what I need to do. Because God takes us as we are, but doesn't leave us the way we are. When I give my life to Christ, which is because of He laid down His life for me, and that's called salvation. But then the next step is me laying down my life for Him. That's called lordship. Because He has a dream for us. And I here's what I want to maybe just say briefly, likely parenthetically, around where you're at today. You're just where you're at today. You're not where you're going to be. You're just where you're at today. And I think that this church has an incredible destiny, much bigger than you or Pastor Sam has a vision for, and much bigger than I have a vision for. But here's what's really important for you to remember. In the kingdom of God, in the economy of the kingdom of God, it's really very important, and much more important, I think, that you find your place. Because for the book, if you read through the book of Ruth, you'll find that a young woman who wasn't sure where she was going to be came out of the tribe, the Moabites, you know, the forgotten tribes or the forsaken tribes. And here's what I hear many times around the body of Christ, people trying to find their purpose. What I want them to do is to find their people. When Ruth found her people, then she found her purpose. Your purpose is revealed with your people. It's still not good for man to be alone. We were meant to do this together. And once you find your people, you plant yourself with your people. And as you plant yourself, not only will your purpose emerge, but fruit will emerge. And so finding your people is a critical thing, and committing to your people. And I'm just talking about kingdom relationships, how critical they are. And I found what Sam said at the beginning there, it's an interesting thing takes place in the economy of God. And he's right. He came and I said, come on over, let's do this and this. And in 1 Kings chapter 16, do you know how David ascended to the throne? Here's what it says, these amazing words. It says, David served King Saul. And that's amazing for me. I don't know how many had to take piano lessons. I didn't like piano lessons. I actually took accordion lessons. It says he served. So you know how Moses actually found his purpose? Serving his father-in-law. Tending sheep. Here's David. He gets noticed for being a harp player. I imagine his mom dragged him kicking and screaming off to harp lessons. But that specific skill got him in front of a king. And then while he was there, he became the armor bearer of that king. If you were to ask David, what's the pathway to kingship? He says there was a process, and it's about serving someone. This is really, this is a little bit Canadian, but it's anti-cultural because it's downward mobility, learning to serve. And so that's what he did. And what got him noticed isn't what he gets remembered for. Everybody remembers him as the giant slayer. It's kind of interesting to me what happened to the sling? Why didn't he keep using that sling? But it got him into the court of the king, and then it was part of his ascendancy into kingship. And I think that once you find your place, when an opportunity to serve comes available, you roll up your sleeves and you serve. David served an unreasonable leader, Sam may seem unreasonable at times. I know him. But sometimes you serve the person, sometimes you serve the role. But I'm just telling you, the pathway to royalty or ascendancy or promotion, it says that whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The pathway for promotion is humbling yourself and serving. So that's an introduction to what I want to share this morning, because it's really important. What I want to share is a little bit of a... next service, I want to talk about identity and about C3 Toronto's identity. But this morning, I want to talk about the process of healing and the power of words. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. One of the critical, one of the key values of C3 that we're unapologetic about is about the Word of God, that we're word people. And I want to share a story, actually, from Ezekiel 37. I want you to listen closely because the Lord is in the process of healing some people here. And He's in the process of moving you along someplace. And this morning may be an acceleration to that next place. Because here's how Ezekiel 37 is the process of how a prophetic word gets fulfilled. It's really important that you read chapter 36 before you read chapter 37. Because chapter 36 declares what the Lord is trying to do. He's trying to do something on the earth. He's trying to get something established on the earth. I'm sorry I missed your fourth birthday. I've been here for every other birthday. So forgive me as an absentee father for your birthday in the fourth. But I went through a real serious time of I wasn't able to breathe. Breathing is an important thing. You don't realize how important oxygen is until you can't get any. I'm just here to testify that the Lord has healed me. Doctors can treat you, but Jesus heals you. So Jesus is my healer. And so this morning some people will be healed. And healing is a process, different than a miracle. We really like outcomes. The Lord really likes process. And so there could be a word that's alive within you, you think is dead, but it's just dormant. It doesn't mean it's dead. Dormancy is not dead. When I visited the Great Pyramid, it shows you the things in Egypt in the Cairo Museum, and it'll show you some seeds that were wheat seeds that were found in the museum in the Great Pyramid that are at least 7,000 years old, but given the right condition, they were able to germinate. They weren't dead. They were just in a dormant state. And so over your life, there could be a word. That's actually what an overseer does. He sees the word that's over other people. My role in serving you is to see the word that's over you. That's a word, that's what parents are. They see the words over their kids and they call forth their destiny. That's what they do. But the power of words can also work the opposite way. Is that we can bring curses and speak negativity over our kids. Let me ask you this question. What's been more powerful in your life, the words that were said or the words that were not said? It'd be about 50-50, because there are words that you wish you would have heard from your parents, specifically fathers likely. You wish you would have heard, but they were never spoken. And then there's words that were said that actually crippled you. We're here this morning to speak and release a redemptive word over your life, because words work. Words are powerful. I grew up hearing that sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's not true. Names will actually break your heart, and they'll crush your destiny. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, it says, the Lord took a hold of me. I love that. I love through the Old Testament where it says, the word came to me. Did you know there's a word coming towards you? This might be it. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord into a valley filled with bones. He led me among old dry bones. They're scattered in the valley floor. They're scattered everywhere across the ground. And then He said, Son of man, can these bones help me, Holy Spirit, become living people again? Let me just pray this, and I keep my eyes open, because Father, You have a word for these people. Let not my words confuse the word You have for these people. Personal words and corporate words. Let them be released this morning in the power of Your Holy Spirit, and let every other lie fall to the ground and die in Jesus' name. Let Your word become dominant today. Amen. See, this is a question you have to ask yourself. Son of man, can these bones live again? That's a question. It's a great question. So you actually have to ask that question within your heart. Is this possible? Is this what the Lord wants? Is this really what's going on? Oh. And so then he says, O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer. And then he said to me, speak to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Oh, I just feel the, you know, oh. And so he says, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. We know that we are created beings. I'm going to just keep your finger there and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to finish. I got something I want to share with you from that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, by faith we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. We understand that. You understand that. You understand that the world was created by things that were unseen. Not unreal, but unseen. There's a difference between unseen and unreal. This world, this room is full of things that you can't see. They're real, but they're not seen. Nikola Tesla said this. He said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Words are frequencies. Words are vibration. They have a sound wave. Words are frequencies. Vibrations. They're also seeds, and they're actually also weapons. Words are weapons of warfare. We're told that life and death, nothing in between, life and death, are in the power of the tongue. There, it's power. So we understand that the worlds were created. In the beginning was the Word. Everything starts with the Word. I love John chapter 1 and verse, the first few verses. And it says here that He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Life itself was in Him. And this life gives light to everyone. Everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Darkness can never extinguish light. Darkness can never extinguish light. I don't care how dark you think you are or how dark the places that you've been to. Your darkness cannot extinguish light. Light overcomes darkness 100% of the time. Now, I had to emphasize that. So he says, then he said, speak to these dry bones. Have you learned to speak to your dry bones yet? I had to, so here's what you have to understand. Huge revelation. Everything was created by words. It still listens to and obeys words. Your body needs to hear you speak. It is a neutral, you are three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And your body does what it's told to do. Have you learned to speak to your body? And the older I get, the more I have to speak to these bones. And here's what I say. I say, bones? I address them as bones. You got to learn to speak to your bones. I know it sounds crazy. My wife hears me in the washroom, in the shower. I'm speaking to my bones. My lungs weren't breathing. They weren't working right. So you know what I did? I spoke to those lungs. Am I getting onto the edge here? You see, because words have creative power. They are forces. We live in the world that our words create. It's power. When this maniac gets up here and talks about what's going to happen in Toronto, cheer him on. He's heard something from heaven. And your healing and your miracle and your future requires your agreement. All right. So you wonder, why did he... So if the Lord wants something to happen, why didn't he just come and do it? Why did he need Ezekiel to speak to the dry bone? Why isn't his word good enough? You know, but we can't forget what happened at the fall. He handed that authority over to us. You think you're not powerful. I'm here to remind you that you're powerful. And a word within your heart, released through your lips, through your vocal cords, can create something on the earth. Come on, walk around that business and you speak to it. My kids told me once, Dad, you're not allowed in my room. I said, you don't know whose room that is. I paid for that room. You can keep me out of your room over at your place, but you can't keep me out of my room in my place. I went into that room and I look around that room. I say, what are his influences? What are their influences? I get my prayer. The kids think they come camping with me. I get my prayer assignment as a parent, watching how they act. I'm out. I'm doing that all the time. Sam thinks he's taking me out for dinner. I'm getting my prayer assignment hearing how he's speaking. I'm listening to what's coming out of his heart. Some things I can agree with. Most things I can agree with. It's really important we understand this. The most powerful teenager in the universe. A young girl, probably 13, 14 years old, maybe 10 or 11 or 12. She said this. Let it be according to your word. Her name was Mary. The fisherman who knew how to fish. They said, no, we've been over there, but at your word we will do this. You see, the word has power. We're word people. That's us, right? We're the people of the book. I'm here just to remind you that the book works, but it won't work if you don't work. We got to work the word. The word works. Nothing wrong with the word. So here's what I have to sometimes remind people, is there is a spiritual world around us. To not acknowledge a spiritual world around us is to either be fruitless humanists or flaky mystics. That we're only concerned with the spiritual world, not the physical. Or that we're only concerned with the physical and not the spiritual. There's an entire another dimension that's taking place, and it's called the world of the spirit. Just like there's physical laws, there are spiritual laws. They work 100% of the time. Last time I checked, gravity worked just fine. As a young man, I tried to defy gravity over and over and over. I just quit trying to work against it. I'm just cooperating with gravity now. It's not cooperating with me as much. Chest ending up in my drawers. But you know there's laws of inertia, right? That's why you have brakes. They work 100% of the time. Here's one of the spiritual laws that you have to understand. Your words have spiritual power. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So what happens here is he's trying to bring something to pass, but he needs somebody on earth to establish it. Your word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Isn't that awesome? But that's not where it needs to be established. It needs to be established on the earth. He needs a voice on the earth, because where two or three agree, that's where I can establish something. You need to get his word into your heart and stand on that word until it comes to pass. You got to learn to speak it. I don't mean getting quirky, crazy speaking it. I mean just reminding the world that it has to come into order with the word of God, because in the beginning was a word. We're people of the word. And there's spiritual dynamics that take place behind physical beings, behind physical action. I came to the place and I asked the Lord in part of my healing. I said, what percentage of my healing is spiritual and what part is physical? Because the doctor's treating the physical part. Here's what I've come to conclude. This is lawnology. It's not theology. I'm working it out. But I personally think that about 20% of our physical condition is a result of food and nutrition. That's what I think. And I don't have much to back that up on, but except that I know when I read through the scripture, I find there's a whole bunch of other things that says if you want to have long life, he said, learn to honor your mother and father. You forget that and you try working out all day long, but don't honor, you watch what'll happen. You won't live a long life. It's a kind of an interesting thing. When you read through the scriptures and all of a sudden you come across a thing that says a merry heart does good like a medicine. I thought, no, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to take supplements. I'm going to eat different. I'm going to become a vegetarian. We have these little eye teeth here for a reason. I think it's to rip apart meat. I need to repent because Greg took me to Westlock last night. We ate more meat than we need. You got to ask yourself, what part of your condition? Because my Bible also says if you harbor bitterness in your heart, it'll turn up like something like in your bones. You go all through your life, and you watch what happens. Time doesn't heal wounds. Are you kidding? Have you ever been to a senior's home? It's filled with bitter people. There's some awesome ones there for sure. But if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you know what? It'll have a physical effect on you. Do you hear me? Yeah, go ahead, get to the gym like Pastor Sam. Get all ripped up in that. But if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, it'll affect your physical health. Are you willing? Here's what I have to ask you this morning. For your healing, are you willing to change a lifestyle? You see, you accept Christ, you're loved, you're going to heaven, everything's all awesome, but you may have a sucky life here because you're not following the word. It has nothing to do with eternity. It has to do with the here and now. And when we give our life to Christ, eternity begins that moment. In a few moments, somebody's eternity is going to begin. Now, okay, so I just want to say, talk about walking in the Spirit. I want to talk about Psalm 107, where it says, He sent His word to heal. I have a couple of personal words that I feel the Lord has in my heart for you this morning. And it's a word from the Lord. And He sent those words to bring healing. I'll share them at the end. But He sent His word to heal. We have to get this word into our heart, meditate on it, until it becomes, the word has to become flesh. That's who we are. It needs to be, right? Okay. Now, Hebrews 11, we understand the worlds were created by things that were unseen, not things that were unreal. Now, here's what the enemy will try to do. Remember how the enemy appeared to Eve in the garden, like a snake. So if you could choose any animal to manifest yourself through that would personally characterize you as an, here's what he chose, I'm going to be a snake. He didn't appear as a mountain lion or as a grizzly, right? He didn't come as the top of the food chain. He came as a snake. Subtle, sly, forked tongue. So here's what he'll try to do. He'll try to tell you, he'll try to remind you, not come with force like a grizzly. He'll come subtly. Did the Lord really say that? That's what he'll say. He'll question the word. This is how this whole thing come unraveled. By us not trusting the word. Did the Lord really say? Gosh, you got some weird people here in Toronto. I met like Wolverine yesterday, Harry Potter, and some other little warrior things with shields and masks. What the heck? You're not in Calgary anymore, Lauren. All right, so there's spiritual laws that are governing. So here's what he'll do. And the question you might ask from Ezekiel 37, how did they end up in a dry valley? Because it looks like that they used to live. When I read this, honestly, I can't help but feel for the church. But you'll end up in a valley because of three things. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear. If I go through a valley, I won't fear. You end up in a valley by being dominated by fear. I won't fear because you're with me. You'll end up in a valley by lacking intimacy with the Lord and with one another. And the third reason they ended up dry and dusty, because he says, your rod and your staff, they bring comfort to me by being unteachable and undirectable and will not learn. That's how we'll end up. I meet them all the time. Yeah, I've tried this church. Yeah, have you tried surrendering and serving? What are you talking about? It's about my vision, my dream. Yeah, no. It's about something much bigger than you. Don't be surprised when they find the center of the universe and you're not there. It's much more. He hands up there and he says, speak to these dry bones. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says, look, I'm going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin, and I'll put my ruach and my breath in you. That's when man becomes a living soul, when he breathes his spirit into us. And then you will know that I am the Lord. That word know, further down in the chapter by verse 13, then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know. The term is yada. It means to have a very intimate understanding and relationship. You may have met Kelly, but you don't know her. We're married. I know her. She knows me. Bible says that her body's mine, my body's hers, and I say, honey, I'm all yours. We know each other. We're intimately connected, and we know each other. We know her differently than, I mean, I know, okay, you get the point. Not that you will know of God, but then you will know. See, I'm here to say it. Just say this, that the Lord is good. Do you know that he's good? I get more pushback when I said that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. No, he's a taker. No, he's a giver. No, he's a taker. Listen, do you know God as a giver or a taker? If you don't know him as a giver, you don't know him as the Lord of heaven. He is a good, good father. Okay. It's one thing to say, well, if the Lord wanted that to happen, so-and-so to happen, then it would just happen. That's not true. Because he will never enforce his will upon anybody. He will invite you to partake in this divine nature. And we partake in the divine nature by promises, according to 1 Peter. So, he's got promises over life, he's got words over our life, and he's going to confirm those words this morning with signs following. That's what's going to happen. So, the Christian life, therefore, is not getting something from God. I'm about to mess with your mind now. This is a very, very powerful truth. This changed the way I saw my world. Because sometimes we think God's withholding something from us, and we have to go on a hunger strike, fasting, in order to get him to move. Listen, he wants to move much more than you want to be moved. Can I say that nicely? He is already on the move. He's wondering, will you come on and catch up? You don't got to wait for healing to come from the Lord. Here, this is what you got to do. You got to be reminded that he purchased healing for you 2,000 years ago. It's already been purchased. You just got to get your head around that and your heart in line to receive it. The work has been, he said, it is finished. He didn't say you were finished. Just trying to help you out. I'm going to preach it, even if you don't say amen. I got to get it. I got a burden in my heart to release something over this body to get you to believe the word and the word to work. And in order for the word to work, you got to believe the word. Some people say, I believe the Bible. I said, would you tell me about the Bible? Well, I don't read it very much, but I believe it. You only believe the parts that you do consistently. The rest of the stuff is just a theory for you and me. So I got to work this out. So I can get to the core of your thinking and your perspective by asking you this one question. Is your healing in the past or in the future? That's a whole new wrinkle in your brain, isn't it? It was for me because I was trying to get God to heal me. And he just kept reminding me when I went through his word, no, you're healed. I said, I'm not feeling it. No, but you're healed. I said, I'm not feeling it. He said, no, but you're healed. And all of a sudden I got a twinkle. Do you know what a twinkle is? It's like a glimmer. It's just you get this little, hey, what if this is real? Like this Bible stuff. What if this word works? What if I am the weak link? What if? And then I began to say, Lord, then according to your word, be it done unto me like the teenager said. And something began to change. Now, many believe what Jesus can do, but they're not sure of what he's already done. I'm talking about the cross, what took place at the cross. That's our sign, right? That's our sign. So, the biggest shift for me was not trying to convince God to give me something, but simply receive it. Now, in the word it says that the word is like a seed. And as long as there, he says right now, as long as there's night and day, there's going to be seed time and there's going to be harvest. You don't understand between seed and harvest? There's time. And in that process, before that word is coming to pass in your life, there's a little bit of time. And what's he doing? He's getting your life prepared to receive the harvest for which he's trying to pour out upon you so that you can hold it and contain it. You know that God's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Why aren't you receiving it? Because we get impatient. Words are critical. Words are so important. Words are forces and words are power. So here's what I want to say as I come to the end of this point, sort of. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, it says, attend to my word and incline your ear, for light, it'll be life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What that means, that doesn't mean to twist your head when you're looking at them like a little Labrador. It means that you attend, you tune and incline your heart towards this word as being true in my life. Position yourself to receive this word as true. Hold on to it and allow it and meditate on that day and night. And then you will find good success. And then you will find that the word will take root within your heart and life. Psalm 170 sent his word to heal. I've already told you that. In the parable of the soils, Matthew 13 to Matthew 4, what was the variable? The variable wasn't the word. There was nothing wrong with the word. What was it? The issue was the soil. There's nothing wrong with the word. The word, my Bible says that I was born again by an incorruptible seed. That seed is incorruptible. If you've given your life to Christ, there's an incorruptible seed in you. This is powerful for us. 25% of those, it seems, in that parable, that okay, came to pass. All right, so now let me just wrap up by talking about how that the earth brings forth, Genesis 1 and 24, the earth begins to bring it forth. We have to remember that we are the earth. Did you know you were made from dust, dirt? We are earth, and the earth brings forth on its own, Genesis 1, 24. But it needs the seed. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I wrap up this morning. It needs the word as seed. The word is seed within our life. The word has, so Hebrews 11 again, it says, what was created came from things that were unseen. The word is often unseen, but it's real and it's powerful. Words are formed, worlds are formed from words, and that includes ours. If you have a look at your world, have a look at the words that are going into your world. If you want to change your world, change your words. Miracles, so God's word will be part of your miracle. People tell me I've prayed about something. Here's what I need to tell you this morning. Hang on, this is not heretical. Miracles don't come from prayer. Miracles come from a word being planted. Prayer is like water for the word. When I pour water on cement, it turns into a puddle. God, deliver us from puddle prayers. Don't type praying for something if you don't have a word first. I got about halfway back. This can change, this can revolutionize your Christian life. Don't let it get stolen from you today. No more puddle prayers. Yeah, I'm serious and I'm sincere. Well, that's nice, but if you don't have a seed, you're not going to get a harvest. Born again. The word born again, incorruptible seed, literally the word is sperma. Uh-huh. Nobody shows up pregnant and you say, yeah, you know, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. This is a physical thing. You know where babies come from? A sperma. This is graduate class this morning. I'm a farmer from Saskatchewan. When I go out and I look over the farm, when I go out and I look over the crop there that we planted, I don't go out and say, well, look at that. It came up barley and I planted wheat. How did that work anyway? What kind of seed are you planting? Not what type of prayers are you planting? Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and fast. Go ahead and give. But if you don't have a word, you won't get seed. You won't have a harvest. What is the word that you've been contending for? The word. Speak to that word. You say, seed germinate. Seed grow. And you water that baby faithfully day in and day out. And you will, I guarantee, this works 100% of the time. 100%. Unless you got bad seed. This is not bad seed. It's starting to spit. Natural laws. Okay, so next service I'm going to talk about, there's something higher than sowing and reaping. There's a whole nother level to that. When you sow and you reap, you get what you deserve. But there's another level. It's called inheritance, where you get what you didn't work for. And that's the result of being rightly related in the kingdom of God. And the Lord will, here's what will happen, is the enemy will try and get you all offended and all you end up, I'm just going to go this place. If you try transplanting a tree too many times, pretty soon that tree's not going to live. I'm just calling you to commit to this house, to serve in this house, to let the word dwell in you richly, and you will have a harvest. Let me wrap up. I'm talking to people this morning about the good news. And I'm just here to say, when you read through Isaiah 40, that's actually the book of Isaiah is like a little Bible, 66 books in it. You go about, the Old Testament has 39, the New Testament has 27. When you go to chapter 40, it's all about Jesus. And here's what it says in the NIV. It says, the war's over. I don't know if you remember what happened at Christmas time when the angels came up and they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. Who's the peace on earth to? Because when I look around, there's still not peace. Jesus went around saying there's going to be wars and rumors of war. Where's the peace? The peace is between God and man. Jesus purchased your peace. And here's what I have to say to you this morning. This is good news. This is not bad news. This is the gospel. God is not mad at you. He's not upset at you. He's not even in a bad mood. The war is over. The battle has been won. And the victor's name is Jesus Christ. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at me because of our sin. I'm sorry for every church that's preached all about how awful and how, instead of how awesome we are. Some people say, well, I think, Pastor, you're making light of sin. I say, no, you're making light of Jesus. He purchased. This bugs people. He's not mad at you as a believer, and he's not mad at you if you're an unbeliever. He doesn't care where you've been, what food you eat, what sexual preference you have. Nobody ends up in hell because of their sin, because sin has all been dealt with. People end up in hell because they rejected the payment for their sin, which was the blood of Jesus Christ and nobody else. I just give you some really, really good news. My Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And he says, therefore, all things are of God, and you've been reconciled. The word reconciled means made friendly. You now, you and I can, this is the, one of the greatest names of Jesus. He was a friend of sinners. Let me speak this over you first in case you don't come to the next service. C3 Toronto is a friend of sinners, of which I am chief. None of us is outside of this. We're all in the process, aren't we? He'd been made friendly. All right. So, God's not mad at you. He's not mad at me. But he really wants you. So now peace has been made between God and man. The question is, have you made peace between man and God? That's your decision. That's your decision. Justice demanded a payment, and Jesus made the payment. The good news is sin is no longer an issue with the Lord. It's no longer an issue. Don't make it an issue. Don't